Good evening, Wahoo fans. This is Jim Hobgood with my co-host, Frank Maloney. Welcome again to Who's Talking. Who's Talking brings you UVA Athletics every Wednesday night at 6 p.m. on Sports Radio 910. We are also streaming live on sportsradio910.com as well as thesaber.com.
This is Frank. Tonight we will review the huge 47-7 win over Big Ten foe Indiana Hoosiers. We have some great guests lined up for tonight's show. Former UVA AD and ACC Commissioner Gene Corrigan will join us shortly. In addition, former UVA offensive tackle and NFL veteran Ray Roberts will be joining us later in the show. We're glad that you've joined us tonight.
We encourage you to send questions and comments via email to whostalking@sportsradio910.com or call into the show at 345-0910. Our shows are archived on thesaber.com. In case you miss it tonight live, we have also set up a Facebook page. So search Who's Talking and become a fan. Frank, you referenced it a moment ago, but 47-7, I sat up there in the stands looking down on the field thinking, who are these guys? You know, I mean, if you had not been at the first two home games and had only gone to the Indiana game as your first visit to Scott Stadium, you would have had a completely different opinion of the University of Virginia football team this year.
Absolutely. I think that the Hoos have overcome a lot of struggles. You know, they've settled on their offensive scheme. It's a hybrid of the original offense that they've been running for years in conjunction with the new hybrid, the new spread offense. They've settled on a quarterback. They've gotten some key players healthy. And all of a sudden, they are revved up. They're confident. And virtually at every position on the field, somebody's making big contributions.
Yeah, and the defense, of course, the defense has played pretty well all year long, but they were exceptionally good on Saturday against Indiana, almost dominating, particularly after that first series where Indiana moved the ball a little bit until there was a turnover. But you're right about Jameel Sewell. He seems to have settled in. He's got the confidence now. I think he knows he's the number one quarterback. I mean, I never played football, but it's got to be difficult as a quarterback when you play a couple of series and then they bring the other guy in, and it puts a lot of pressure on. They figured out a way to get Vic Hall and utilize his skill as a receiver and also on the defensive side. And, of course, Mikel Simpson had a terrific day as well.
No doubt. I think the Hoos, interestingly, overcame an early special teams error when the opening kickoff went out of bounds at the 5-yard line. Indiana put together a couple of good first downs. Then they got a little greedy and tried to go up the sideline against Razai Dowling, and he stripped the ball from the Hoosier wide receiver right in front of the Indiana bench. Next thing you know, Rodney McLeod is scooping up the ball and running full tilt right down that same sideline, and he gets all the way to about the Indiana 38. Jameel Sewell comes into the game throwing passes left and right. Before you know it, the Cavaliers are down there on the Indiana 16-yard line, two handoffs to Mikel Simpson and touchdown, and it's 7-0. And it's almost like they set the tone right away in a different fashion maybe than even the Carolina game. It's like you're an air house now. You're not going to put a drive together. And boom, Sewell threw some nice balls. And it immediately, the whole offense just relaxed and became a smooth oil machine.
Yeah, they really seem like they're confident in what they're doing now. They have a greater understanding. They've tightened up the linemen on the offensive line, but nevertheless, they seems like they're utilizing some of the effective part of the spread offense by getting their skilled players out in the open field where they can demonstrate their ability to catch and run with the football.
And something that I think has not really happened this year, the offensive line was clicking on Saturday, no doubt. They were creating nice holes. They gave Jameel Sewell a lot of time. And quite honestly, the wide receivers were able to get way downfield. It attracted the defensive backs and pulled them way upfield. And then they found Vic Hall in the short zones, and he just tore them to shreds. I mean, Vic Hall was lining up at flanker very close to the tight end or the tackle. And he was able to find gaps in the Indiana defense and quite honestly made them look very slow. Once that got established, they went back to the run. And reviewing the stats today, I noticed that the Virginia offense piled up 231 rushing yards. As Simpson, Rayshon Jackson, Torrey Mack, and Max Million all had good days and good yards per carry.
Yeah, total offense of 536 yards, which is really impressive for an offense that earlier in the year was struggling, to say the least. I guess to me, the only thing on the stat sheet that I was disappointed about is the attendance, 45,371. So I know we're singing to the choir relative to our audience. Our folks are probably at the game anyway, but certainly in a couple of weeks when Georgia Tech comes to town, hopefully we'll correct that attendance thing and get a strong turnout to see the Hoos and the Yellow Jackets. But, of course, Maryland, in the meantime, big game on Saturday.
Absolutely. You know, the only thing that you have to worry about a little bit is Mikel Simpson got banged up quite a bit, taking a handoff at almost the eight-minute mark of the third quarter, just carrying a routine handoff between the tackles, and didn't really get up, although he was moving his hands and his feet the whole time. You know, there was a lot of concern. I think the UVA medical staff took all the proper precautions, got him off the field, and he was released that night after a battery of tests. And I understand he's been going to practices. Don't know yet how much he's been involved in practices, but we certainly need Mikel to participate in the big game up in College Park on Saturday, because we know what he did up there in 2007. He had an epic game.
Yeah, kind of a breakout game for him in College Park in October of 2007. Looking at the sheet, 18-17 Virginia victory in that 9-win campaign. So hopefully, and you always worry, I mean, football, the nature of the game, every play for the guys on the field, you risk injury, and sometimes you just have freak occurrences. So we do trust that he's doing well.
Well, you know, looking around the ACC, interesting weekend. A lot of high-scoring games. Jim and I were looking at this this afternoon. Virginia Tech rolled over Boston College, which had been making noises up there in Chestnut Hill. But when they came down to Southwest Virginia, obviously they weren't ready for that sort of storm. North Carolina had a big comeback and crushed Georgia Southern 42-12. Obviously we know the Virginia score, defeating a Big Ten foe 47-7. Duke, maybe the biggest shocker all weekend, just pounded the Wolfpack 49-28.
Yeah, Duke is another team similar to Virginia that seems to be getting better as the season progresses. Certainly a big win for the Duke Blue Devils playing. I believe that game was on the road in Raleigh. So a big win for the Duke team that Virginia will see, in another couple of weeks in Charlottesville?
3 weeks. Maryland hosted Wake Forest last week and could not keep Riley Skinner and that Demon Deacon offense from ringing up 42 points.
Yeah, I think that game may have been in Winston-Salem. We could double-check that. But
yes,
regardless, a Maryland loss,
and then
42-32.
Then Miami continues to show that they're for real. They pounded Florida A&M 48-16. And also Georgia Tech won the big shootout 49-44 in what apparently nobody told the defensive coaches that there was a game to be played or something. And then Clemson was off. So, you know, the ACC right now shaping up to be sort of interesting. Wake Forest leads the Atlantic Division with a 2-1 record. Boston College at 2-2, and Maryland is at 1-1. Clemson 1-2, and State and Florida State, NC State that is, have yet to win. In the Coastal Division, Virginia Tech leads 3-0. Virginia's at 1-0. Georgia Tech is 3-1, and we all know that Georgia Tech hosts Virginia Tech this weekend in what will be a huge slugfest down in Atlanta. I understand that we have our first guest lined up at this point, and you know, I think it's very exciting for Jim and I to have Gene Corrigan with us. Gene, we don't want to give the 10-minute bio, but I will say, Gene is somewhat of a legend. He came from WNL to UVA in 1971 as the AD, lifted and organized and managed the Virginia program to some terrific success, went on from there to Notre Dame, and then ultimately was brought back to the ACC as commissioner and oversaw the expansion of the conference and created all the arrangements and deals that led to the bold alliances that benefit the conference to this day. But we're welcome to have Gene Corrigan on the line with us. Gene, are you there? Gene, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes,
thank
we
you.
Can.
Very
all
good.
Right. Gene, Jim Hopgood, and Frank Maloney here. I don't know if you heard Frank's nice introduction or not, but we certainly are delighted to have you with us. And, of course, you took the AD job at Virginia back in 1971. I think the fact that Barry Parkhill and Jim Hopgood were there were probably key considerations that you were thinking about. But tell us, go back to those days. The athletic budget was a little different back in 1971 at the University of Virginia, wasn't it?
My goodness, yeah. Everything was different. Things have changed so much in intercollegiate athletics now. It's absolutely incredible when you look at it and see how it's all grown. I mean, Jimmy, first of all, that was the first year that that women entered the university.
That is right.
My
second year as a student. So, that was a significant change. And, matter of fact, my wife was in the second class of women that entered the University of Virginia. So, in some ways, I took advantage of women coming to the university.
I would say you did in a big way. And I don't know whether she won or not, but you certainly did.
I think we all know the answer to that question.
Yeah.
Gene, back when you first arrived in Charlottesville, a couple of things. First off, there were fewer sports even being funded by the university in those days. And can you describe some of the challenges you faced and maybe even some of the sports that you had to coach out of necessity?
Well, when I first came to the university, I came as a coach in 1958. At that time, I think I'd counted it over not long ago, there were 16 full-time members of the athletic department. Some of the head coaches were part-time. I was the head lacrosse coach, the freshman basketball coach, and the head soccer coach. And the first soccer game I ever saw, I was the coach. So I think things are a little different. They now have three full-time people coaching soccer, three full-time people coaching lacrosse, and God knows how many coaching basketball. But, I mean, it's a very different thing. We had very little money. The stadium, Scott Stadium, was small. I think it was about 21,000, 22,000 seats, and we were playing in Memorial Gym. So, I mean, the opportunity for, you know, to create a major program hardly was even there at that time. And I was here for 9 years, and which I enjoyed. I eventually got out of coaching both soccer and basketball and stayed with lacrosse and got into some administrative work and left here and went with the ACC for a year and a half, which was wonderful experience because I got to work.
Gene, hang with us. We're going to go to break for a moment. We'll have more with Gene Corrigan on the other side of the break.